The Rambam tells us in the beginning of Perek Tes of Hilchos Malachim, Al Shisha Dvarim Nistava Adam Harishon, the Adam Harishon initially received six of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and then in the time of Noach they added Avram and Achai for number seven, Nimsu Sheva Mitzvos, V'cheinu Yadavar B'chol Olam Ad Avram. So we had seven mitzvahs until Avram Vino came along. Va'Avram and Nistava Yesar Elu B'Mila. Avram also was commanded regarding B'smila. Who was Baal Shachris, and he innovated Tefillah Shachris. The Yitzchak Kifrish Meiser, the host of Tefillah Cheres Lifnos Hayom, he added Mincha. The Yaakov host of Gedanosha is Baal Arvis. So far, so good, that we all know. Then the Rambam tells us, Ube Mitzrayim, Nitztava Amram be Mitzvah Siseros. And in Egypt, Amram received extra mitzvahs. At Shabbat Moshe Rabbeinu, Vinishlama Torah al Yado. Points out the Kesef Mishnah there and the Radvaz. Where are these mitzvos that Avram got, that Amram got? We don't know anything about that. Parenthetically, Meshech Chacham points out, at the very least, that helps us with the following pasuk in next week's Sadra, sorry, in this week's Sadra, Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So Moshe Rabbeinu is presented with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God of his father Amram, as well as the Avos Avinu of Yaakov. Points out the Meshech Chachma, once you have this Rambam, that the Avos were Mechadish Mitzvos and Amram also was Mechadish Mitzvos. So then it makes sense that Amram is listed in the same breath as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But be that as it may, what are these mitzvos of Amram? Where do they come from? Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, Malachim Siman Ayin Dalid points out the same problem. We don't know what the source is. He does note that there is a medrash that says that Amram was a Rosh HaSanhedrin, but that doesn't necessarily tell us that he was Mechadish Mitzvos. He says, Mistama, the Rambam had other sources in Chazal that we aren't privy to. However, everybody who attempts to suggest what the source of these mitzvahs of Amram were point or was point to the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudbeis and Aleph, which we're familiar with enough from the Gemara in Sota, at least from Rashi in our Sedra, that quotes part of this Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Sota Yudbeis and Aleph, Vayelach Ish mi Beis Levi Lehechan Halach, Amram Yehuda Bar Zvina Shehalach Ba'atzas Bito, that Amram followed the advice of his daughter Miriam. Tana Amram Gadol Ador Haya. Amram was a Gadol Ador. Kevan Shara, or he heard that Parah Rasha said, Kol Habena Yeloda Yoreh Tashlichuhu, Amar L'shav Anu Amela. What's the point in having more children? They're going to be killed anyway. Amar V'girish Yisishto, he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulan V'girish Yisnishoseya. Everyone else followed him and divorced their wives. Amar L'abito, so Miriam responded to Amram, Abba Akashik is a Raska Yosef Michel Paro, you're worse than Paro. Shaparo Lagazar El Zacharim. Paro is only trying to kill the boys. Viata Gazarta El Zacharim Lanakavis. You're not going to have any children, not boys or girls. Paro Lagazar El Balamazah, Viata Balamazeba Olam Haba. Paro Rasha Savig Miskayamis, Xerosa Savig Eda Miskayamis. Maybe we'll sneak something by. Ata Sadik Bivadisha Gazaraska Miskayamis. And that is worse. So Amram listened. Amad v'hichzir es ishto. So Amram remarried his wife. Amdu kulan v'hichzir es ishto, as did everyone else following his lead. Fine. So the Gemara describes that they had a public remarriage, a public chasana. So says the Maariv Zchias in the back of the Gemara there in Sota. This is pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that Amram added additional mitzvos. What are these mitzvos? Before Matan Torah, there was no tzivoy for Gittin v'Kiddushin. And here Amram innovates a notion of Gittin v'Kiddushin. He divorces his wife, he remarries his wife. So that's Gittin and Kiddushin that hadn't been formalized before the time of Amram. At least when it comes to Kiddushin, we know the Rambam tells us famously the opening line in Hilchos Ishos, Koda Matan Torah Hay Adam Pagei Isha Bashuk. Before Matan Torah, there's no institution of formal marriage. You meet someone in the street, you go home and live together, and that is enough. There's a process of kedushin v'nisuin. So says the Maariv Tzchias, that's what the Rama means, that Amram was mechadesh, innovated gittin v'kedushin, formalized it. And that's what Rabbi Kasher has in his Torah Shlema of Medrash Chafetz, v'ikachas bas Levi b'lekuchin, v'zeh sh'amr v'nitztavu b'mitzrayim b'mitzos, zu mitzvah nisuin v'gerishin. The reference to the fact that there is a tzivay in Mitzrayim b'mitzvos, namely the mitzvah of nisuin, of kedushin, nisuin, and gerishin. In the Chuvas of the Chidah, Chuvas Chaim Sha'al, Chelek Aleph, Siman Sadi Hey, he quotes this idea from a Chuvas Mekom Shmuel, don't know who that was. Quotes the same Gemara in Sota Yud Beis. He has the following additional analysis. He says, why was it, if Amram's point was he didn't want to have children, so he didn't have to divorce his wife, he could have just had children. He could have been Poresh without formally divorcing her. Ella, what was the Cheshbon? So the Cheshbon was, as the Mishnah tells, the Gemara tells us, sorry, Bava Basa Dasam at the end of Perek Cheska Sabatim, that after Chorban Abayis, on some level, it may have been appropriate. The Gemara there has various things that people wanted to be Poresh from after the Chorban. So it may have been appropriate to not have to be Poresh from your wife, or not have further children, after you're ready to be Mekayim Pruvu. So he assumes that to the extent that Amram was willing to divorce his wife, it was only because he had already fulfilled Pruvu. So if he hadn't fulfilled Pruvu, there'd be no heter to separate from your wife. So why did he have to divorce her and not separate from her? Because he wanted to give other people the opportunity, or someone else the opportunity to marry her who hadn't yet had children, and then she could have children with someone else. And he points to a Targum Yonasan in Parshas Baloska of all places, Baloska Perakid Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Vav, that says that Eldad was the son of Eldad and Medad, the son of Elzaphan ben Parnach, who had married Yocheved after the time that Amram had divorced her. So says this Chuvas Mekom Shmuel, that the Chidah quotes, that that was what was going on here. Amram only divorced his wife and the people that followed his lead because he already had kids. Someone else married her in the interim. I then Mafsir Grushasa. So apparently he was in Nitzavah Mafsir Grushasa. So he was Nitzavah in Gerishin, in Kedushin and Gerishin. And he was in Nitzavah in Mafsir Grushasa. So that's what this Chuvah, that the Chidah quote says. Then the Chidah doesn't like that. The Chidah says, first of all, that's the whole cheshbon. They only divorce their wives so someone else could marry them and didn't have children yet. So there weren't other single women around that you could have married. So he doesn't understand that. And also the fact that there was gerushin there. Who's to say he was gerushin with a get? So he divorced her. Maybe that was a different model of gerushin. Who's to say that you learn from there that they were nistavah in the details of Hilchos Gerushin? And also, who's to say that there was any tzivui? Maybe Amram decided on his own to do this, and he was a gadol ador, so people followed him. But how do you see from there that there's any source that there was a tzivui in Mitzrayim, the mitzvahs nesuin, the Gerushin? The Klei Chemda, Parshas Ve'era Os Beis, points out beyond that. He quotes the same Chidah, and he says, aside from the Chidah's Kasha, he thinks the whole premise is wrong. Because we assume, like the Rambam that we'll look at in a minute, that even Bnei Noach are Bechlal Gerushin. So it wasn't the case that before Matan Torah, before some Sivli, there was no notion of Gerushin, and that was Nischadish and Mitzrayim, because there was a notion of Gerushin from the beginning of time in Hilchos Bnei Noach. What's that about? The Rambam tells us in Melachim Perek Tes, Halacha Ches, Ben Noach sheyiche shivcha laavdo bala haris neragalem mishum eishes chaveiro. So a shivcha under certain circumstances could have a din of eishes ish. Then the Rambam says, me'emas atiya eishes chaveiro kegrusha shelanu. At what point in Hilchos Bnei Noach is a wife considered to be divorced? When he sends her out of his house on her merry way, oh, misha teitzei hi mitachas reshuso v'teilech la, or she goes out on her own unilaterally. She'ein lahem gerushin b'chsav. When it comes to Bnei Noach, there's no formal get document. There's no written divorce. V'ein adavar tali bo levad, and it's not only up to the husband. Ela kolzman sheyirza hu ohi lifrosh zemizeh portion. Whenever either one of them wants out, they have the right to unilaterally get out of the marriage. So there's no written divorce. There is a concept of gerushin. There's no written get document, and either spouse has the right to unilaterally leave the marriage on their own. This is also the position that we see in the Perish Haran ala Torah. Someone put out a few decades ago from some Ksaviyad, the Ran ala Torah through Parshas Chayesara. So the Ran al HaTorah, when we have the exchange between Avimelech and Avram Avinu in Parshas Vayera, where Avimelech says, "What do you want from me?" Says the Ran, "Zelosh and More." From Avimelech's perspective, he was doing everything right. Avimelech was under no obligation to send Sarah back to Avram. Why? Ishus for Bnei Noach was only when husband and wife both are of the same mind and want to remain living together. Aval, kashir yochichu maseyem sherosim li pared, huvitur ishus agambi. When any one of them indicates that they have enough, they indicate through their actions they want to separate, then, as far as we're concerned, the marriage is over. Ki ein lahem gerushin michsav, they don't have a written requirement, the requirement of a written get. And therefore, once Avram says, achosihi, he's saying that they're not married. So Avimelech had every right to take Sarah. Chidush Aran, Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches, Amud Beis, quotes the Rambam, and it sounds like he accepts the Rambam, but he quotes a dissenting opinion of the Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David, Kosev, the Chidushav, Shekarov Husha Nomar, Ben Noach, Ein Lo Heter Lo Olam, Begerishin. He thinks that Ben Noach has no ability to divorce at all, like the church. And once you're married, then you're stuck forever. And that's what he quotes. This is a Yerushalmi, we'll see in a few moments. Elokei Yisrael lo yiched kadosh baruch hu shmo lo gerushin ela Yisrael. That the institution of gerushin was only created for Jews, not for Nochrin, not for Bnei Noach. And Bnei Noach has no option of divorce. And this is Mashma in Atosus Arash in Sanhedrin as well. Nunvav Amud Beis. So the Atosus Arash has a comment there. Afal gav the high krab and mafsiv grusha soksiv. Ubnei noach lo husru al kaf de lo shayik bu gerishin. So by mafsiv grusha, so there's no mafsiv grusha, there's no issue of remarrying a wife that you divorced for ben noach, because ben noach isn't b'chal gerishin. So it sounds like the same idea, the Rabbeinu David, that there's no notion of gerushin for a Ben Noach. So according to the Rambam, there is an institution of gerushin for Bnei Noach. It doesn't require a formal get, and it's a unilateral, no-fault divorce. Either spouse can decide on their own. They went out. And the Ran supports that. According to the Rabbeinu David, and it sounds like the Tosafot Rush, there's no concept of gerushin for Ben Noach at all. So part of this emerges, at least this discussion, is really a Yerushalmi. Opening Yerushalmi in Kedushin has the following. Hare lemanu, goyim ein lehen kedushin. Mahu sheyelem gerushin. Reviewdom and pazir b'chanin b'shem b'chuna ruba d'tzipurin. O she'ein lehen gerushin. O she'ne megarshin. So we'll translate that for now as either there's no notion of gerushin at all, or both of them can affect gerushin. And then the Gemara has a different opinion. The Yisrael Nasati Gerushin Lona Sati Gerishin Bumas Olam. That there's only Gerishin for Jews and not for the Umas Olam. So what does that mean? O she'en lahem Gerishin, O she'shnei Megarishin, says the Korban Eidah. O she'en lahem Gerishin, Dasav Ela Bamir Ba'amasagi. You don't need a writ and get. O she'shnei Megarishin Zazeh, Shem Yirsahu, O he, Lifo, Sami Zah portion. Either one of them can decide that they want M. So what does that mean? Either or. So those two possibilities, but not both of them together. The Rambam has both of them together. The Rav Asher Weiss points out, Minchas Asher Parshas Noach, I think it's Siman Yudalit in the new edition. There's a Medrash, Rabbah, Yud Parshas Yuches, that has a slightly different text here. She'ein lam gerishin, o she'shnei megarshin, ze es ze. So he quotes from the Manus Guna commentary on the Medrash, that he reads that not either or, but both. She'ein lahem gerishin, that there's no formal gerishin, meaning there's no requirement of a formal get. O she'shnei megarshin says that, meaning, and they both have the ability to, sorry. O she'shnei megarshin says that you need the haskama of both of them. Not that either one unilaterally can decide to end their marriage, but they both need to be megarish. They both need to sign off on the get. And then the Medrash has another opinion. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ishto megarshaso v'nosenes lo duporo, that the wife is the one who affects the gerish, and it sounds like not the husband. Says Rav Asher, maybe that's because there's a notion of the davak bishto. So in the Hilchos B'nei Noach, maybe according to this opinion, the husband is mitzvah to remain married to his wife. The davak bishto, he can't get out of it. The wife has no such requirement, and she can decide she wants to end the marriage. So then you have possibly four options here for shittos. Either the Rambam, again, that gerushin does not require a get; it could be unilateral. Each side could decide they want out. The Rebbeinu Dov has no gerushin at all. The first day in the Medrash here, according to the reading of this Matnos Kahuna, that they both need to be maskim to the get, and the second day in the Medrash that only the wife can be megarish and not the husband. Just to note, another interesting marmakom b'divrei Harishonim, Rebbeinu Bachya in the same parsha of Avimelech and Avram Avinu in Parshas Vayera, quotes Rebbeinu Chananel. Because Rabbeinu Chananel Zal, ki achshav kishabab begrar, he's bothered by the problem, or the Rabbeinu Bach is presenting the problem. Avraham Avinu already went through this with Parah Mitzrayim. Why is he doing the same thing again with Avimelech? So because Rabbeinu Chananel Zal, ki achshav kishabab begrar gersha, here Avraham Avinu actually was megaresh Sarah, lefisha yayare shama yahargu, emay omer shi ishto. Even though he divorced her, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't really let that come to fruition. The reason that Avram divorced Sarah was because he was afraid. The He only divorced her because he was afraid. He was an anus. The nimsa she'ena gerishin gerishin gemurin. So it wasn't a full-fledged gerishin. Zosh Amar Avimelech gam sadik tarog. Kolomar hagoy she'en lo zehadin ela filu ones gerushav gerishin. So when it comes to a nachri, there's no notion that an onus somehow compromises the integrity of the get. But by Yisrael, that is the case. So in Hilchos Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Bach is saying, Avraham Avinu was governed by Hilchos Yisrael. In Hilchos Yisrael, the get was compromised because it was ba'onas. But in Hilchos B'nei Noach, that's not the case. So that's what Avimelech says. Hagoy gam tzadik tarog. Are you trying to trip me up in Hilchos B'nei Noach? Because in Hilchos B'nei Noach, even a get ayde onas is gerushin gemurin. Okay. So back to the Klei Chemda. So the Klei Chemda says the following chiddush. Back to explain what is it that Amram added, or the what was the takana, the gzeira, the mitzvah, the institution of gerushin in the time of Amram in Mitzrayim? So the Klei Chemda suggests the following, that there's a fundamental difference between the geder of gerushin for Ben Noach before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. And that emerges from the way the Klei Chemda explains it, a chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara there in Kiddushin Gimel Amud Beis tries to figure out, how do I know that a woman, the first mishnah, the opening mishnah in Kiddushin, that a woman becomes mutares lashuk b'misas habal. We know there's a pasuk that if a husband gives his wife a get, then she's allowed to remarry. How do we know that if the husband dies, she's allowed to remarry? So the Gemara figures that out from Gemara's various suggestions, what the source is. Gemara figures out that an eishes ish is nitares b'misas habal. It says the Pnei Yeshua over there. V'nira, so the Gemara quotes, v'davak b'ishto. And that's a lima to tell you. We learn out that the woman's nitares b'misas habal. V'nira lefi zeh, afilu lefi ha-maskana. The Bisrael Ika Kra de Mises Abel Matir, Afilo Hachi Ben Noach Aser Mi Esseva Devak. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, how do we know that a Eishes Yisrael is Nitaris Mises Abel? But that's not true by Ben Noach, because Ben Noach is Bechlal Bedevak Bishto, and he stuck to her even after that. And he says, then I understand that that's the case, why Yehuda says, Hutsiyu Vesisareth by Tamar. Because I wasn't she a Pnuya? So maybe not. Maybe Ben Noach is a Niteres B'misas Habal. That's the Chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua. So says the. So most Achronim disagree with the Pnei Yeshua for different reasons. The Pashas is not the way, it's a big Chiddush. So the Klei Chemda says maybe the Pnei Yeshua is half right. That maybe the Pnei Yeshua was right at the pre-Matan Torah state of the world. Because pre-Matan Torah, Bnei Noach are mitzuvin puruvu. And as such, the Devak Bishto, they have to stay married. And even after Mises Habal, maybe they still, you still have that chibur. So maybe before Matan Torah, a marriage for Ben Noach couldn't be dissolved not through Mises Habal and not through Gerushin either. Because with the Devak Bishto, you're stuck for life and even after life, even after death. But that was only before Matan Torah, where Bnei Noach and Mitzuvah in Purvu. Come Matan Torah, so there's a shift in the address, the emphasis of Purvu. Purvu now becomes a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael and no longer for Bnei Noach. So at that point, then you have a regular kind of contractual ishus for Bnei Noach, not a puruvu ishus, but a kinyan type of ishus. And then kinyan type of ishus could be dissolved, just like any kinyan could be dissolved. So he says, after Matan Torah for Bnei Noach, there's gerushin and there's a heter mises habal. Before Matan Torah, neither was the case. He says, if you look carefully, Bnei Yeshua, he thinks Bnei Yeshua only met before Matan Torah anyway, because his raya is from Yehuda and Tamar. Neither Bnei Yeshua would address would accept that after Matan Torah there is a heter mises habal for a Ben Noach as well. So when the Rambam says there's gerushin for Ben Noach, that's after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there's no gerushin, no heter of mises habal. And he suggests maybe the tzivoy that happened in Mitzrayim, the time of Amram, of Gittin v'Kedushin, that was a shift. It wasn't at Matan Torah, it was earlier, it was in time of Mitzrayim, that already we were mitzuvah in Purvu. And then, by extension, Gittin v'Kiddushin. And he says it would be helpful to say that, because then it'll turn out that Moshe Rabbeinu was born the full Kedushas Yisrael. If you don't say that, so Moshe Rabbeinu was born in a pre-Matan Torah kind, from a pre-Matan Torah kind of marriage, that's not as appealing. So there's a certain appeal to say that this shift to a new reality of Tzivi Purvu, Gittin v'Kiddushin, happened in the time of Amram. Just to point out Minchas the Magi on the Minchas Chinuch takes issue with the Pnei Yeshua in Mitzvah Lamed Hey. So Magi there points out that the Baal Yitosa al Torah have a comment against the Pnei Yeshua. The Perish Arash al Torah Parshas Lech Lecha. The Hargua Si, this is by the Avram and Paro. Livilti Kashlu Bavon Eishes Ish. So Avram says, what's going to happen? They're going to kill me so they can marry you, because they wouldn't want to be nishal in the Aveir of Eishes Ish. Lefisha Huzru Ela B'nei Noach. So then the Rav says, V'yesha T'moa. The Kamokin Huzru El Shvichas Damim. So they would, so they also can't murder. So they murder Avram to marry Sarah, but that's what, if they're so from, so then why are they okay murdering him? So he says, Yeshlamar, a cheshbon, that to murder Avram, that's a single Aveira. But to constantly live with an Eishes Ish, that's a Aveira that's mischadish b'chol yom. So better to just violate one Aveira, shvichas damim, than to violate a constant Aveira of an Isser Eishes Ish. Okay, but you see from this rush that he's assuming that Mises Abal is Matur Ben Noach, otherwise they wouldn't have accomplished anything by killing Avram Avinu. So just Mamar Muskar, this Cheshbon, at least is against the Perish Arash Alatar. But that's the creative suggestion of the Klei Chamda, take it or leave it, as to the context of this suggestion that Amram was Mechadish, Gittin, Kedushin, and maybe Peruvu. But with or without the fancy lumdus of the Klei Chemda, this seems to be one way or another the general orientation of those that attempt to explain where the Rambam got this from, that somehow the Gemara and Sota Daf Yud Beis is the model for whatever Amram was Mechadish is referenced in the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Tes. Okay. Have a great job. Yes.
Have a good Sabbath.
Good Shabbos.
Yeah.